Welcome to a new episode of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Gianluca Sola, your host. Tennis is back. The US Open first week. The US Open has started. Before that, we've also had, always in New York, the Cincinnati Masters 1000, won by Djokovic. So, played tennis is back. It was a long time, but it started with a bang, and I'm quite excited. And we're going to have from now on one big tournament after another. So, there's going to be a lot of played tennis. A lot of things have also happened outside of the tennis court, in the tennis world. I think I'll talk about those in the following episodes. In today's episode, I interview Wayne Montgomery. Wayne was an exceptional South African tennis junior. He rose to, I think, number 7 ITF in the rankings. He played all the major Grand Slams, all the major tournaments as a junior, and also the Davis Cup for South Africa. And he's got some really nice insights and stories about the junior years. Also, it's quite amazing the amount of, it's a who's who's list of top professionals, today's professionals that he played against back then. He played against, and he played also together with some of them in doubles. So really interesting, nice stories there to listen to. Then he goes on to talk about his years in the USA. He went to a Division I college, University of Atlanta, the Georgia Bulldogs. It's a very famous and historically a very good tennis college. There he played 4 years in position 1 or 2. And he talks to us about that experience as well. We get an insight of both the junior and college years. I must say, just one thing, this podcast, we had a bit of technical issues in the middle or towards the end, but nothing serious. I've tried my best to edit it out. You probably won't even notice. But it's not a big deal. The other thing, I think I did a mistake. We were talking about tennis college, and I mentioned Nishioka instead of Brandon Nakajima. So anyway, not a big deal. I just wanted to let you know about that. But anyway, it's a great chat with Wayne. You must listen to it. I think especially if you're a junior player who is considering to do a lot of ITFs, to travel the world, to go to college, or to maybe even become a pro. Obviously, he did that whole route, decided not to do that pro route. It's really, really interesting. So I hope you enjoy it. Finally, thanks to everybody who listens to the podcast. I'm getting listeners really from all corners of the world. So thank you very much. You can follow my podcast on all major platforms, Spotify, Google, Apple, Anchor, and so on. And you can follow me also on Instagram. I have an account there, tennis_lifestyle_podcast, or also on Twitter, GLSOLA, GL Sola. So that's enough of talking. This is the interview with Wayne. Hope you enjoy it. Bye-bye. Hi, Wayne.
Yes. I can hear you now. Hi. Yep.
All good. Hi, Wayne. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Very well. Are you in Somerset West?
Yes, I'm in Somerset West. Actually, just working from
okay.
Same old for the past couple of months.
Yeah, it's pretty windy today. Hi, Wayne. Yeah, thanks. First of all, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. You're actually the first South African, so I'm very happy about that because I'm.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me, and thanks for reaching out. Happy to
yeah,
be on.
Yeah, I was just saying I'm finding it very hard to get South Africans on.
So hopefully you'll be how do you say, like opening open the road for many more to come on.
Yeah, hopefully I don't open the floodgates and you won't be able to interview any foreigners.
Yeah, that would be nice. For people who don't know you, Wayne Montgomery, he was an outstanding, I would say, junior and college tennis player. I'm just going to do a brief introduction. You reached a number 7 in the ITF juniors, and you played college tennis in the US for Georgia Bulldogs. Other highlights, I think you reached the quarterfinals at Junior US Open and Australian Open, as well as a semi-final in doubles at Wimbledon. And you also represented South Africa internationally in team and individual events. I've heard a lot about you because, I've never seen you play except for a few college videos, quick ones. And I think you actually, you played a set against my son at the beginning of the year in a club event. I don't know if you remember that, in a league match.
Yes. No, I absolutely remember that.
Yeah, that was, it was kind of rained out, but I think you were destroying him, so that was better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reason I know you really is because, well, you're from the same area. We also live in Somerset West and just outside Cape Town. And you went to the same high school that my boys go to, which is Paul Roos in Stellenbosch, here close by. And then obviously I also know your father, who's a coach and organizes a lot of events and tournaments for Tennis South Africa. So that's just a bit of the background, but let's talk about you. When did you start playing and, you know, what age and who got you into tennis? I also believe you've got an older brother who was very good.
Yes. So I would say, I think I started around the age of 4, four, 5. And then, of course, you mentioned it earlier. Of course, my parents, being into tennis and being tennis players themselves, both of them, that, they obviously got me and my older brother, Wesley, into tennis at quite an early age. Obviously enjoyed it. Pretty much played all sports, but of course, tennis is obviously a thing that was running in the family at the time, so it's kind of hard to kind of deny the sport, I guess. But yeah, certainly enjoyed it from an early age. So yeah, I would say about 4 or 5 years old, I started to pick up the racket.
Okay, and it was your parents, I guess, who started you off and got you into the sport. Yeah,
correct. Yep.
What kind of kid, tennis kid, were you? Were you a kid that was obsessed? Were you playing for the fun of it? Were you doing it because your family was all involved in tennis? Or how would you describe yourself?
Yeah, I definitely wasn't obsessed at the start. I think as a kid, you kind of want to try out all sports and mess around and kind of just develop your own skills and see kind of what sport you are good at. It was definitely not, I was not obsessive early on. I think I only started to take it very seriously pretty much at the end of my primary school career, so I would say about 13 years old.
Okay.
I started, to realize, okay, let's, start at, travel some and see, how I do overseas and compete against those guys.
Yeah.
I would say I was pretty much an all rounder, okay. In terms of all sports early on and pretty much all throughout primary school.
Okay.
And then obviously, high school was a whole different ball game. It's kind of where you have to, I guess, pick and choose, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. And if you have to describe yourself, what do you think made you such a good junior tennis player? Was it the way you played? Was it because you were very competitive? Was there something that stood out? I mean, what would you say?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think it would be, it'd have to be a combination of factors that play into that. But I do think that, you know, I had tremendous support, you know, from the family, from my family and, you know, my coaches, Jacobus Swanepoel at Paul Roos, you know, he was obviously a big influence at the end of my junior career.
Also known as Swanny.
So I would say, yes, Swanny, correct, yep. So I would say it's a combination of factors. You know, I was a pretty small guy. I was, you know, I'd say I was definitely in the smaller half of, or maybe even the smallest quarter of all the guys playing, you know, overseas and whatnot. So it was definitely not the physical, you know, the physical condition that I was in was maybe not, you know, up to par with the other guys. So I would say, you know, if I had a pinpoint the exact factors, I'd probably say just competitiveness and you know, just you know, never quitting. I think that, you know, I also didn't practice necessarily as much just because I went to, you know, like you mentioned earlier, a normal high school, and you know, most of these guys that you know play Wimbledon and US Open, all those kind of junior slams, you know, they probably, you know, if they even do go to school, it's you know, they do homeschooling.
That's actually,
so I think.
Yeah, sorry, you can finish, sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that basically didn't allow me to practice, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, which I couldn't do anyways. I would probably go insane if I had to do that.
How many hours would you in general practice during high school?
Pretty much 2 hours. And then, you know, I think we started around, I think me and my brother both started around when I was about grade 9. So about 15 years old, we started to go to the gym in Stellenbosch before school on Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday mornings. So we would maybe do like an hour of gym, not necessarily even fitness, just, you know, to get a little bit stronger and to get, you know, the physical condition in top form. But then, once school concluded, it was pretty much 2 hours, 2 hours a day. That's about it.
Okay. Interesting. And was there a particular moment in your, let's say, junior period that you realized, okay, I'm really good? Was there a match, a moment, a tournament? Was there something that like sparked and said, "Oh, okay, I'm really good here"?
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't say there was one particular one, because I guess you, how can I phrase this? I guess sometimes you are just a little too young to even realize what's actually happening around you, and what you've actually achieved. So, I think, you know, I played a couple of tournaments when I was, you know, under 12, you know, in that age group. I traveled, you know, with a few South African guys as well. And we played a few tournaments overseas, and I ended up, you know, doing fairly well in those. Okay. So, you know, I knew I had what it took at that stage.
Okay.
But then again, you know, at that age, you don't really think about, you know, in 10 years time, you basically, you know, you're 12 years old, you just want to win right now.
Yeah.
So, sure. So I wouldn't say that was kind of the trigger, but I guess something that may have propelled my career was when I played the African Cup, the African Junior Championships. Mm. I played in the under 18 age group when I was 16, and I ended up winning the African Cup when I was 16. So I think that started, that was like, okay, you know, this is, you're not 12 or 14 anymore. This is, you know, you're playing with stronger guys, bigger guys, and everything's more intense. And the fact that I was able to pull that off, I guess, was just kind of a, you know, a nice feeling, I guess. And that's when I realized, okay, you know, there may be something here.
Okay. Yeah. Was there, I'm curious, was there a junior in your age or, you know, roughly your age groups when you were playing that you really struggled to play against? Or you hated to play?
In terms of
Yeah,
domestic guys or individual
no,
players?
domestic in South Africa. Yeah, domestic.
Oh, in South Africa. I think, you know, I pretty much played most of them. I think, obviously Matthew Rousseau, he was my age, and you know, we always had good matches. And you know, I mean, there were a couple of guys. Mark van der Merwe, obviously, he was, you know, one of the most talented guys when we played in South Africa. So, you know, if he's on the day, that he was a pretty hard guy to beat. But yeah, I mean, I guess it just, you know, whoever comes out at the end of the day, whoever comes out on top. But there wasn't, I wouldn't say there
Specific.
was, you know,
Yeah.
necessarily one.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say there's one guy that I sh really struggled
Okay.
against. It was just, yeah, I guess I would say it was Mark. If he really was on the day, it'd be really hard to, you know, do anything to damage him, I
Okay.
guess.
Okay, great. And during those junior years in high school, was there ever a serious talk about you maybe pursuing tennis professionally, or was it always no, we're not interested, or maybe was there another plan of let's play and go to college? Or well, was there ever talk about you pursuing it professionally?
Yeah, so I think that you know, basically how this went down was, we just wanted to keep the college option
Okay.
open. There were talks and thoughts, obviously, that ran through my head and ran through, you know, my parents' head and coaches and all that, but we didn't want to commit too fast. And I think back in that day, before I committed, you know, to college tennis, you weren't allowed to take any sort of prize money for, you know, playing professional tournaments. Now I think the rules actually changed. Now I think you can take up to $10,000 per
Okay.
year before going into college. And back then it was just a little bit different. Like, you weren't allowed to take any sort of money.
Okay.
So it was basically just, you know, not making a decision too fast and too, I guess, emotionally. So we always just kind of wanted to have the option of, you know, going to college in our back pocket.
Okay.
There was definitely, yeah, that definitely ran across my head, obviously, and I thought about it. But you know, college is, as I'm sure you know, college is not a bad option at
Okay.
all. You obviously, you know, you get a degree, and you know, you get something behind your name,
Yeah.
and you still get to play. You know, you still get to go toe to toe with the best
Yeah.
of them. It's just in college tennis, right? And it's a fun environment,
But I mean, was there sorry, was there maybe a moment when you were 16, 17, when someone said, you know what, maybe you should just try, I don't know, going to do a bunch of futures, or did that never cross your mind?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of people that, you know, mentioned that. They definitely were, but at the time, I think that South Africa didn't have that many pro
Yeah.
tournaments, you know, meaning futures. And so if I were to go and play them, you know, I'd have to travel overseas again. And I think at that point, I was traveling so
Yeah.
much. I think it was my grade 11 third semester. I was in school for a total of 5 days.
Okay, wow.
Yeah,
Okay.
so my schedule, yeah, so my schedule was pretty packed. And you know, just because of the junior tournaments, and you know, the junior tours and the
Yeah.
slams, and all that
Yeah.
kind of stuff. So I think if I try to fit
Yeah.
in more tournaments and pro tournaments, that would just, you know, I'd probably fail out of
Yeah,
school,
yeah.
to
So
be
your
honest.
priority was your
So
school. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
I guess Yeah, to a certain extent, right? Like you, as long as you just don't flunk out of
Okay.
school, I guess you are
Yeah.
fine.
Okay.
But yeah, I think the futures would have been nice. It definitely would have been nice looking back at it. But there was just no way, I guess, to fit those
Okay.
in. With the schedule that I had and with the normal schooling hours, it just I don't see it being possible.
Okay. So I mean, you basically decided school and ITF tournaments is what you want to do, not stop everything and just try and do a whole bunch of futures in a year. That's what you're basically saying. Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
correct,
All
right.
right.
So I mean, obviously the college option wouldn't even be viable
Yeah.
if
Yeah.
if you flunk out of school, for
Sure.
example.
Yeah.
So it is something. It's not necessarily, wasn't necessarily my main priority, but it still had to be
Yeah.
one because I mean, you have to, I guess, pass school.
Okay.
But yeah, so at that point, I'm still focusing on, the junior slams and playing those kind of tournaments.
I this morning when I did a bit of research on the internet, I looked at your ITF junior history, and I must talk about this. I mean, I'm really impressed. Okay, apart that you played all the major junior tournaments, I think there were all the slams. I think you also played the Bonfiglio in Milan, which is a very big tournament. But apart from that, I just want to list the players you played against or played doubles with. And this reads like the current top players in the world in that sort of age, 20 to 25, sort of ish. Okay, Kokkinakis, Zverev, Munar, Kyrgios, Nishioka, Yemer, Brody, Coric, Quincy, Puig, Garin, Edmund, Napolitano, and Chachanov. Some in singles, some in doubles, and I'm sure I've missed some along the way as well. But that's an amazing list. I mean, must be amazing for you. That's incredible.
No, those guys were, obviously all playing the junior tournaments as well. And most of them are my age. I'd say Zverev and Coric are, I think, they're a year or two younger than me. But we all kind of play together, and it's the same as it is, I guess, on tour. Everyone kind of knows each other. So yeah, no, played against those guys and have known them, I guess, from previous tournaments as well. Earlier stage, maybe under 16 or so, still got to see those guys. But yeah, that was it's definitely it, I guess it's definitely cool to see them, kind of doing really well on the big stage and playing Federer and beating them and playing those guys. So yeah, it definitely is cool to, I guess, to be able to say, I played with those guys or, played doubles with
Well,
or whatever the
I
case
see
may
you
be.
won a doubles with Kyrgios, and also you played doubles with Kyle Edmund. That's amazing. I think that's incredible stuff you did. But my question is, when you played juniors against these players that I just mentioned, did you think, did it cross your mind, I'm playing on the same level? Okay, obviously you didn't know they were going to go on and become top players at that time, but did you think, these there's something special about these guys? Did you think your level was the same, or when you played them, did you realize that these people had something different, something extra that maybe you didn't have?
So I guess the older I got, the more I realized, okay, this guy, has great potential. And that was, obviously Kyrgios, Galkinakis, they weren't necessarily as good. Well, I would say Kyrgios wasn't necessarily as good, in the earlier age groups. But once he got to, I think I saw him for the first time when we were 16 or 17 at Wimbledon. And he didn't even do well. He lost first round, but I could see, this kid is, he's got a lot of talent, and he always has been. Oh, you always had a lot of talent, but I did. Again, I think I was just, I think the only thing that counted against me, I would say, is just the fact that I guess I was just a lot smaller than all of those guys.
Okay.
I just kind of grew late. But no, those guys, I obviously played with them, and I definitely felt that I was on par with them, and I can hang with them, of course.
Okay.
I would just say I guess those guys, were kind of in a different boat. They had, the entire federation backing them, and not a lot of those people, I guess from the countries that have Grand Slams. If you look at America, Australia, France and England, not a ton of those guys, maybe decide to go to college. Obviously in America, there are a few guys who decide to go to college, but because there are so many colleges. But I think the majority, or like the, if you want to call it the top 1% of the countries that have Grand Slams, don't necessarily go there because their federations are, they've got deep pockets,
Support,
from the Grand Slams, and obviously making money off of that. So I think that their federations help them a lot as well, in making, I guess, that transition from junior to, early career pro. And I think that's what, Kyrgios and Kokkinakis and basically all of them did. So yeah, it wasn't that I felt I was too at a disadvantage. It was just, I guess, looking back at it now, you kind of just, things kind of start, lending some perspective.
Yes, sure. Out of this group that I just mentioned of players, was there somebody as a junior who really impressed you? I think you mentioned Kyrgios. Was there anyone else?
Zverev was he was really good. So I knew him since I was about 12, 13 years old. I saw him for the first time, then he honestly, just in my opinion, he kind of disappeared, and then he came back. He only came back maybe, almost at the end of my junior career, and then all of that year, I think you mentioned this, the Bonfiglio tournament. He won that all of a sudden, and I obviously remembered the name, but then all of a sudden, yeah, he just started, he grew a ridiculous amount. He was so tall at that point already. He just played ridiculous tennis. And then he, I think that same year, yeah, he won Bonfiglio and then took a week off and then made the finals of the junior Roland Garros as well. So then he started to become like a prominent player. But yeah, well, in my opinion, I guess he was basically out of it, from, I guess I just didn't hear of him anything from the age of 15, 16, and then or and 17, and then I guess when I was in my last year, he kind of came back along. But yeah, Kyrgios, obviously I always struggled to play against him, I guess. I don't know why that is, but always just, had a tough time playing against him. And then yes, I would say Zverev, and I guess Coric has always been a ridiculously hard worker. So I knew he was always going places. The guy would be on the practice court, he would camp out there and just wait for, 5 minutes if possible. So but I would say Zverev and Kyrgios definitely, and also very talented, both of them obviously.
I see. Yeah, Zverev actually. I don't know if you follow tennis, but I saw he played against our Kevin Anderson last night at the U.S. Open. So,
Yeah, no, I saw that a little bit last night. I did watch a little bit of that.
Oh, don't worry. There's a little alarm going off here, but I don't know if you can hear it.
No, what? I can't even hear.
Is it? Do you have any funny or interesting story that you can tell us about those years with all these juniors you played with?
So I get, I mean, they definitely were quite a few, because you kind of hang around those guys during the tournaments, and you become friends with all of them. So there were definitely, multiple stories, but I guess the one that I'd mention was, actually the one where me and Kyrgios played doubles together, and we ended up winning the tournament. It was the week before Australian Open, I think. And what basically happened was we never even intended to play together. I think I was supposed to play with Matthew Rousseau, another South African guy,
Yes.
and I think that their flight got delayed or something like that happened, and it just it just didn't work out that I guess he was able to come over and play the
Okay.
tournament. And Kyrgios was supposed to, it's actually funny, he was supposed to play with Andrew Harris at that point. Now, Andrew Harris also played college tennis, like I've also known him from the juniors, but it was funny because at that particular tournament, I played Andrew Harris in the very first round of the tournament in
Okay.
singles. And we ended up having a huge battle. And I think I ended up winning about 7-5 or 7-6 in the third set. And he was cramping, and he was, I guess his body was just hurting after that. And he was supposed to play doubles with Nick. And I guess he pulled out. He was like, I can't play anymore. My body is kind of done. And he wanted to, I guess, save all his energy and strength for the next week, which was the Australian Open. Myself, obviously, I knew Nick at that time, and I guess, I was like, well, my partner didn't come or didn't even show up, and I guess, I just kind of put your partner into a misery. Sorry, but and then we were just like, do you just want to play doubles and just kind of mess around and see how it goes? And he was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And I guess we signed up like at the last minute. And we just decided to play together, and we ended up winning the tournament. So
Fantastic.
we were like, oh, this is sweet. And we still talk about it to this day sometimes. When I saw him in Atlanta, we still even had a laugh about it.
Fantastic. Do you actually still do you these guys, any of these guys like Nick, do you actually still once in a while talk to them, or kind of like lost the
Yeah, I'll send them a message every now and then,
okay.
and just kind of, or on social media or whatever,
Okay. Oh, cool.
and just say, how's it going?
Ah.
What's been happening? Or congrats on the win or something like that. But yeah, so I do from time to time, I guess
Okay.
not regularly, but from time to time, yes,
That's nice.
keep in contact with those guys.
Yeah. And as a youngster, I guess a lot of people, I mean, Nick Kyrgios now is probably more famous outside of the tennis court than in the tennis court. But everybody perceives him, I think, probably not in the right way. I mean, he just comes across, you know what I mean, as a big mouth. But how is he really as a person? You might have got you obviously got to know him as a junior.
So he's always kind of been that way. I would tell people, it's not, something that just changed, in a heartbeat when he turned pro. He was always kind of been that, kind of a careless look, but he's just so talented that he can pull it off.
Okay.
I honestly wouldn't say it was much different. When we played together, he was pretty much the same. He would, kind of joke around and mess around. So
Okay.
I think it's been pretty much the same. Yeah, but off the court,
Yeah.
I mean, of course, he may be a bit arrogant and whatnot, but he's still a funny guy, super funny guy.
Deep down inside, he's a very nice guy, basically.
I would say he's a nice guy. Like, he doesn't necessarily mean, that much harm.
Yeah.
His arrogance may, put some people off and make you see completely past, I guess his personality. But
Yeah.
he is a funny guy.
Okay.
Fun to hang around with. But
Okay.
yeah, I guess that's for other people to decide. I guess it depends on your personality as well.
Going back to you, after all this junior ITFs and all that period, you then decided to go to the University of Georgia and play for the Georgia Bulldogs tennis. I know historically that they're a
Correct.
very, very good tennis college. And I saw you played, sorry, I saw you played mostly in position one and two. What made you choose the University of Georgia?
Like you mentioned, just the fact that they, you know, they've had a historical record of, you know, great success. You know, the coach Manny Diaz, he has been there for quite some time, and that obviously shows confidence in the program. You know, I guess if you have a lot of turnover of coaches, you know, there's not really trust in the program. I mean, that's just my opinion. I guess it was a long track record of success. You know, there was one South African guy actually before me there, so you can kind of, you know, pick his brain on, you know, how it relates to what we are used to here in South Africa. There was a variety of different things, and of course Athens, the town where the college was situated, was obviously a great college town. Really nice. It was just, you know, a kind of a bigger Stellenbosch, just, you know, a big college town, and you know, obviously football is a huge thing there. Just a variety of fun things. But obviously they have, you know, pretty good academics as well. Their business school is, you know, kind of a top tier public university. And yeah, of course, like you mentioned, the tennis program was stellar. Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of a no brainer. And, you know, they used to host all the NCAAs there back in the day. And, you know, they arguably have one of the best facilities in the country, if not the best, outdoor facility. So I think, you know, I think they can be like 6,000 people pretty much. So it's kind of a no-brainer for the tennis, you know, on the tennis side of things.
So a combination of things, really. And if you have to, the transition from ITF junior to college, was that easy? And did you find the college tennis much on a different level, or how was the transition?
Yeah, transition was actually pretty smooth. It wasn't that drastic. It was more of just, I guess, sort of just your schedule and how it, you know, how that relates to your, you know, the classes that you have to take and, you know, your studies and all those kind of things. But the tennis in of itself, I guess, it wasn't that drastic of a change. The competition, I would say, was, you know, guys were obviously a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger in college, you know, because you may play against a guy who's a fourth year or is, you know, a senior in college. So obviously, you know, a guy age 22 is, you know, going to be stronger and a little bit faster than a guy in 18. So I guess competition wise, the guys were, I don't know, very close, maybe some tournaments, you know, obviously depends on your opponents. Maybe a little bit, I guess, worse at the start, but then obviously the guys, you know, everyone improves and everyone gets better. So I wouldn't say that they are worse in general. I would say that it's pretty much on par, if not a little bit better. I would say if not a little bit better than the juniors. Because I mean, a bunch of those guys also want to go pro, you know, and they play a bunch of tournaments during the summer break, which is 3 months. So they, you know, they go out and test themselves.
They get
so
a feel.
Definitely the top college guys were significantly better than the ITF juniors. Yeah.
And how often did you train when you were there?
Pretty much every day. Yes. Well, so pretty much every day you would have your studies and your classes in the mornings. And then you would, I guess, your practice would start around 1:30, you know, depends on the day, obviously, but I guess 1:30, 2 p.m. And then you would practice for pretty much 2 hours. And then you would either do an hour of fitness or an hour of gym work.
Okay. Is that every day for the whole year or, pretty much?
Pretty much, okay. Yeah, pretty much. So when we are in season, we would, you know, if we ended up traveling, we would maybe get like the Monday off.
Okay.
And then, you know, the Tuesday we would have, you know, maybe a light practice or whatever. And then the Wednesday, Thursday, we would practice heavy. And then I guess on the days, and sometimes if you just got back from a tournament, you know, you may get 2 days off, which was fine.
Okay.
They don't necessarily drill you into the ground if you just tell the coach, I guess, you know, you are tired and, you know, you just want to take a break.
Yeah.
They are not opposed to it. They'll lend that, you know, to you.
But
also that, I guess, depends on coaches. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you obviously get coaches who are, you know, pretty brutal and make you practice 5 hours a day, right?
All right.
Even though they're technically not allowed to do it on paper, they just don't really care, I guess, some of them.
Okay.
They do make you practice, and then we would, you know, maybe on the Saturday morning, you know, maybe practice for an hour or so, an hour and a half,
okay.
And then obviously the Sunday off. So it wasn't super overwhelming, but yeah, yeah. Definitely a little bit more than what I was used to, I guess.
Okay, and during that college period, I mean, I've been told this. I don't know much about it, I'll be honest, but I've been told that if you take maybe the top 20, 30 tennis colleges, Division One in the USA, and you take their number one players, they reckon that's sort of, if I've spoken to a few people and they say, maybe if you have to compare it, you can say it's somebody 300 to 500 in the ATP, that sort of level. I don't know what you think of that, but if that's the case, was there any time during that period that another spark came into you, maybe that you wanted to try going professional, or was that something that you've never considered anyway that period?
No, so I did consider that. My original plan was, I guess, to go to college and, you know, stay for 2 to 3 years and then try to go pro.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess even after, I guess, I had a, you know, a fairly decent first year in college, I guess after that, just, you know, the next summers after that, you know, the summer breaks after that, it was just, you know, more so getting internships and, you know, kind of pursuing a little bit more the academic studies than the tennis. I don't know, I couldn't really even pinpoint what exactly or when exactly, you know, that kind of occurred and when that switch kind of happened from tennis to the academic side. But I would say that's a fairly accurate estimate of about 300 to 500. Okay. Obviously it depends on the person, right? You get the very top college players would, I mean, I think they would even be inside the top 300, in my opinion, but speaking of the majority of top 10 college tennis players would probably be between, yes, 300 and 500, 300 and 400. Yes, I would say that's accurate, but yeah, you get full of guys that come ridiculously far and you know, have achieved great success. I mean, for instance, like Cameron Norrie, you know, he never used to be a stellar, I guess, junior. You know, he was never really a spectacular junior player. But then once he got to college, he really, you know, started heating up and he started playing really, really well. And I mean, look at him now, you know, he's even top, I guess he's like, what, top 50? I'm not even sure what his ranking is, but he's doing very, very well. So, you know, you get those, you get a couple of them that would kill any guy that's, you know, top 300, for example.
I think there's a guy called Nishioka now that just stopped college, and I see he's doing incredibly well. I mean, he's... I think he won the first round yesterday in the US Open. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Do you know also another extremely talented South African junior? Well, he's not junior anymore now, but Philip Henning. And he's also joined Georgia Bulldogs, I think it was last year. Do you know him? What do you think about him?
Yes, I do. I do know him. And I obviously, you know, spoke to him when he came on a official visit to Georgia, and he was basically looking at colleges and deciding, you know, which one he would want to go to. I basically, I was still there. I think I was in my last year. I was in my final semester when he came to visit. So unfortunately, we weren't able to, I guess, play together on the same team, which would have been, I guess, pretty cool. But he's obviously doing really, really well. I think he's playing 102 in at Georgia already. So that's obviously saying a lot. He, I actually watched him play. I was working already. I was graduated and everything. But then we drove from Atlanta to Athens just to watch a tennis game. Maybe a year or two ago, and actually saw him play. So and he played really, really well. And I think he won his match. I think they lost the tie. They lost the overall match. But he won against a guy that I know as well. So I mean, he won against a guy that I know. So and I so I was impressed with his game. So he's obviously doing really well. And he's I guess he's happy for his game. Or happy with his game. But yeah, I'm not sure what he's gonna do, if he's gonna continue, with the college, or if he wants to go pro. I'm not entirely sure.
If we're nearly finished before
No worries.
the rapid fire, you played a lot of tennis in the last, let's say, 10, 15 years, more or less. A lot of matches, and you've played all over the place as a junior and then in college. If you have to look back, what are or what is your favorite memory, or what was there a particular period or experience you did that you enjoyed the most?
So I think a really cool memory was when we played the Junior Davis Cup in Mexico. And we were 16. This was under 16s. And it was me, I guess,
Hello?
me, Mark. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, no, you just went away
Okay.
for a second. I can hear you now.
Yeah, sorry about that. So yeah, I think when we played Junior Davis Cup back in the day, and we actually qualified for it, and then we ended up. So I was, Mark Fenimareva was playing number one. I was playing number two, and then Matthew Rousseau, also my age, he was the number three. So we three went to Mexico to play the Junior Davis Cup, and Mark had a ridiculous tournament. He played extremely well, pretty much winning all of his matches and carrying us. And I think we made the quarterfinals. And I think we ended up getting sixth place, which was really good. And that's, I think that's the best South Africa has ever done.
Oh, fantastic.
In the, yeah. And, but then I guess the next year we obviously we went back again.
Sorry, Wayne, you're sort of a little bit coming and going. Are you there
Yeah,
still? Are you
can you
there?
hear me?
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yeah,
Okay.
little bit better now.
Okay.
I don't know if you were moving around, but anyway, let's see. I did get that about the Davis Cup. Another question. Is there something that you did not like about tennis as a junior and as tennis at college? Was there something you did not enjoy?
No, not I wouldn't say that. I pretty much like all of it. I guess I wouldn't do it if I guess I didn't like it, right? So no, I pretty much enjoyed every aspect of it. Maybe the long hours of practicing wasn't ideal. But the competitive side and the tournaments and all that, I loved all of that.
So you enjoyed most of the journey. And the last question, if you what advice would you have for a South African junior tennis player who is dreaming or is obsessed and really is dreaming about becoming a professional? What advice would you give him?
Yeah, I would just say, I guess keep your head down, keep working hard, and you gotta play tournaments. You gotta play more tournaments, because that's how people recognize you. That's how you get you get to go toe to toe against the best in the world. Staying in South Africa
Okay.
and just playing the tournaments over here is not enough. You have to branch out and try to compete with the best of the best. And so I would say yes, even start a travel if you can.
Yeah,
Start.
Wayne, sorry, I think the line's not great. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect. I don't
Yeah,
know. I'm
yeah.
sitting still and everything. I'm not
Oh,
sure,
is
but
it? Yeah.
yeah.
No, it's just a few times you come and go, but I can hear you well now. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I was just saying, I guess you have to travel, I guess, to Europe and the other countries and try to play as many tournaments as possible and try to compete against those guys
Okay.
as much as possible, so you can kind of gauge, your sort of abilities and your skills and match it up against theirs, and then you kind of know where you stand. If you have a realistic shot or not, basically, that's the question that you have to answer.
Okay. So basically go overseas and try and put yourself in those tournaments with the other
Correct.
best players from overseas and just see where you are.
Yep.
Okay, great. No, that's it. Thanks a lot. I think that was, I mean, I've got many questions, but I don't want to keep you too long.
No,
I
no.
usually end with a rapid fire. You can answer literally with one word. You don't have to elaborate too much if you don't want to.
Okay.
You ready? So, what's your very first memory of tennis? Very first memory.
Very first memory, I would say. I don't think I can remember that, but a picture of me holding a racket when I was a baby, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Currently, do you still play? And if you do, how often?
Yes, I do still play. I'll play anytime socially.
Okay.
Actually played a lot at the start of the pandemic, just with my dad, just casually. But I would say, yeah, not on a regular basis. But again, I play anytime. I still love the sport.
Okay, that's great to know after so many years.
Yeah.
Define to somebody who doesn't know you what type of player you are.
I would say I am, I guess, a baseliner, maybe a defensive baseliner. I tend to use my speed as advantageous as possible.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess just, kind of hanging in there, making as many balls as possible. But I would definitely, I guess, categorize myself as a baseliner.
Baseline. Which pro would you say, if you had to compare yourself, resembles you the most, or you resemble him the most? Is there one you would say, I play like this pro?
That would probably have to be, I guess, David Ferrer, that's retired now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If
Okay.
I just
That's
had to,
interesting.
yeah, I guess if I had to,
Okay.
pick someone, but obviously my
Okay.
idol has been Rafa Nadal, so yeah.
Okay. Best shot, your best shot.
Probably my forehand.
Forehand. I must say, when I saw you play my son, who's obviously n nowhere close to level, it's the first time I saw you play, and I actually the one thing that stuck in my mind is you can really move the opponent around with your forehand. You've got a very good forehand, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Did you currently is there a player, male or female, that you really like and or maybe you really enjoy watching?
Yeah, I mean, I've always enjoyed watching Rafa Nadal play. So I
Okay.
think, yeah, of course
All
you
right.
of course Federer as well. Yep.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, list if you have to list the big three, Nadal, Federer, Djokovic, from your favorites to least favorite.
Yeah, just as you said it, I would say Nadal, Federer, Djokovic.
Okay. Best match, if there is one that's in you, stuck in your mind that you have ever played.
Jeez, wow, that's a tough one. I would
Yeah.
say, jeez, I would say it could have been the semifinals. the semifinals in the tournament before the Aussie Open when I played Nishioka, and I won 7-6 in the third set. We played a ridiculously long match. But I guess if I had to pick one, that one would probably be up there. Yes.
Okay. Best match you have ever seen, and that can be professional, club, junior, any level. College.
I'd have to say the Federer Nadal Wimbledon. I think it was 08. I think it was the 08 final. I'm not sure.
I think it's 06 or 08, something like that. But I know which one you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes, probably that one.
Best tournament in the world.
Wimbledon, for sure.
I think I know this, but what's your favorite surface?
Hard courts, definitely.
What is your favorite all-time tennis racket that you've used?
Tennis racket? Did you say tennis racket?
Yeah, tennis racket. Yeah.
Wilson. 100%.
What strings, tensions, and tension do you use?
I use the Luxiglon Big Banger original, I used to string my rackets around 50, 51, maybe even less than that, maybe like 48. Yeah, I can't remember exactly. It was fairly loose. I even went down to about 43 at one stage.
Wow. Okay. Was this when you were playing college?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Is there a tennis club complex that you've been to that is the best one you've ever seen?
A tennis club. I guess there's been multiple that actually the one you mentioned, that Bonfiglio tournament in Milan, is actually a really, really, really nice club. But I guess you can call Wimbledon a club too, right? So
I was kind of like, except let's say the professional circuit.
I would say Bonfiglio was a really nice club, but I guess there are many I guess super nice clubs in the world.
This is a bit of a funny one. You have to book a restaurant, and you can invite only three players. They can be male, female, any era. Which restaurants do you book and which players do you invite?
Ooh, that'd be hard. Restaurant would probably be Dorsia in New York. And I would have to pick Bjorn Borg, Rod Laver, and I'd probably pick Rod Laver, Federer, and Nadal.
Okay, wow. Yeah. And what's that restaurant in New York? What type of food is that?
It's basically famous for their seafood.
Okay, what's it called again?
Dorsia.
Dorsia, okay. Cool. Do you like cooking?
I do. It's just, I guess it's just maybe just takes up too much of my time.
Okay. What's your favorite food?
I can't say no to a nice braai, to be honest. That'll do any day. I can pretty much eat anything. I'm very easy.
Very easy. Yeah. Favorite pizza topping.
Ooh, favorite pizza would probably be pesto, mozzarella, tomatoes. That'd probably be my toppings. Yep.
All right. Are you tea or coffee?
Both, but I do enjoy the coffee in the morning.
Okay. Do you have a favorite musical artist or singer or band?
I wouldn't say I have a favorite one as of right now. I pretty much listen to whoever comes on, and I guess, yeah, like I mentioned, I'm a fairly easygoing person. So if I know the song, I'll listen to it no matter who it is.
Okay. But is there a musical
Yeah.
style do you kind of like more, like rock or rap,
I
or do you listen
guess
to
it's
anything?
just like, yeah, pretty much anything. I do like rock from time to time. I guess when I'm working out or in the gym or going for a run, I'll listen to some rap just to motivate me or
Okay.
get the blood flowing a little bit more. Yeah.
Is there a movie that you are really well, your favorite, a movie that you go back to and maybe you made an impression on you?
A movie would probably a really good movie would, I guess it'll probably be Inception, or
Okay.
if I had to pick, yeah, maybe Inception, and maybe 13 Hours or so. Yeah,
Okay, you like it.
I guess
Okay,
it.
there's a the
Yeah,
more
I
type
guess
of thriller kind of
those. Yeah.
Are you a TV series type of person?
I don't really get a whole lot of time for that, to be honest.
Okay.
But I have watched a few.
Okay.
My favorite TV series is pretty much Billions.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, probably have to say Billions, and Game of Thrones is obviously a classic too, but
Okay.
Billions, Suits, yeah.
Any hobbies? What do you like to do except for tennis? Do you have any interesting hobbies and things you like to do?
Yeah, I obviously love to be outside, so running, playing golf, try to play as much golf as possible. Maybe pretty much every weekend if I can. So yeah,
Okay.
golf, running, surfing. Haven't done that in a while though, but yeah, just pretty
More
much all sports
sporty type
I
of
enjoy.
thing. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I can hear you. Mostly sports. Okay. All
Yeah,
right.
correct. Correct.
Okay. Are you a superstitious type of guy? Because a lot of tennis people are like that.
Yeah, I guess I used to be when I played. I
Okay.
was I w not super not crazy superstitious, but I was a little bit superstitious, but now obviously not so much anymore. Yeah.
Why did you do something particular, like not step on the lines or stuff like
Yeah,
that?
right. Like
Or
in when exactly, ex that's exactly what I did. I never stepped on the
Oh,
lines.
really?
Yeah, so that was pretty much my only superstition, to be honest. So yeah.
All right. Apart from South Africa, what's your favorite country in the world to visit?
There's obviously a lot of beautiful countries, but I really liked Australia. Really like that, and Italy, and
Okay.
Spain, to be honest. So I really like Italy, very beautiful. Spain also, and then Australia as well.
Australia.
Yep.
Okay. Would you say tennis is the most difficult sport in the world, in your opinion?
Geez, that's a hard one. Yes and
Mm.
no. All sports are different. Like in golf, for example, one shot can screw up your entire tournament and cause you to lose a championship. Whereas in tennis, one shot may not, do that. You can make multiple mistakes and still win a match. So I guess it's completely different. All sports are different. But I would say tennis is up there with one of the hardest sports in the world. Top five, top three, maybe even. So yes, definitely.
And tennis is changing so rapidly. It's not like what it was 10, 15 years ago, and it's changing all the time. 30 years from now, 2050, how do you think tennis will look like?
I think it'll be, I think the guys will hit the ball even harder. Everything will just become faster. I think they will try to slow down the tennis courts and the tennis balls like they did with Wimbledon
Okay.
back in the day. But I think people will be stronger, fitter, faster. So I think the power, the yeah. power of the shots and the strokes will be better and faster. But I think you can mitigate that with making the courts slower and the
making some heavier. Adjustments.
Exactly right. So I think that it's going to be like a cancellation, you know, basically things canceling each other out. But I do see it becoming just, you know, bigger, better, faster, you know, all those sort of attributes. Yep.
All right. Now I've got one that I call a super tie break. Don't worry, we're nearly finished. You have to complete your perfect all-time tennis player. Again, it can be male, female, any era. Who and you have to pick serve
Kyrgios
return
Djokovic or Andre Agassi but I'd have to go with Djokovic
forehand
this is tough forehand maybe Del Potro.
Okay, that's where I would go with that. Backhand,
I would say Djokovic as well.
Volley.
Federer. Drop. They were actually much better volleyers than Federer. I would say Pete Sampras.
Okay. Drop shot.
Federer.
Movement.
Probably Nadal. I would say Nadal.
Mentality.
Nadal.
Touch. Feel touch.
Ooh, that's another tough one. Yeah. Probably Federer as well. He's ridiculous. Federer. Yeah, Federer.
And final one, all-round personality on off court.
Federer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the US Open this year?
I don't want him to win, but I think Djokovic is going to win.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He's on roll. Yeah,
I think everyone thinks the same. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope someone beats him there.
Yeah, you're not a big Djokovic fan by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, we finished. I've got one final question. And it doesn't have to be serious or personal or whatever. It can be also fun. Ask yourself a question and answer it.
Ooh, okay. I would ask myself, why do I keep hitting a driver on a really hazardous hole on a golf course, and I always hit driver, which may not be the smartest play, but I guess the answer to that is. Because I think too much in the moment and not about my scorecard.
Okay.
That's pretty much, I don't know. That's I guess what I'd ask myself.
No, that's fine. That's a good one to close it off. Thanks, Wayne. I really appreciate it. As I said, I love doing these podcasts because I just like talking tennis and other stuff with anybody who wants to spend a bit of time with me. And I think you were really interesting, and you gave some fantastic, insight to junior and college tennis, and especially for any South African who I hope follows this podcast. So yeah, thanks very much, and hope to see you probably soon somewhere. We're so close by. I'll maybe see you soon.
For sure. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Really, really appreciate it. And yeah, happy to jump on the podcast anytime.
Cool. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers. Bye. We'll be right back.
man.